Hi everyone, and welcome to the Gagger Teams podcast for the week. I'm the happy man, Sully and Carla with me tonight. So let's go through the teams and what's in our minds. Evening, Sully.
Hello, mate. How you going?
Extremely well, extremely well. Loving life. Carl, how are you going?
Yeah, good, mate. No, happy. Life's good, and let's rock on.
Fully locked into the season, doing some games now.
I'm pretty happy. Canes are up the top, so I haven't got any complaints at this stage.
Only took
No.
a minute, and we're already talking about the Canes.
Exactly. Let's get it back to where it belongs, shall we? Once again, ladies and gents, thanks for everyone for your support. Show seems to be going quite well, so we're quite happy to be continuing along with it. Please download, rate, subscribe to all those wonderful things in all of your podcast platforms that are way too numerous to mention. A couple of quick things, bit of housekeeping. We'd like to introduce a new segment next week. It's going to be a bit of a feedback section. So if you've got any questions, anything you want us to discuss, just email sully@greenandgoldrugby.com and we'll be happy to read out your email and go from there. We've also, of course, on the backside of the website, a lot of people just read the main things is there's the forums and the community pages. It's got some really good stuff. All the games are in there, so you can have a chat about with various people about the games. In a good space, goes all the way through the community game, all the big games, RA, all that sort of stuff. There's some dark alleys to go down if that's what you're into. Quick outline of what's ahead tonight. We're going to go through the teams of the week, the clashes, make our fearless predictions, discuss the topics that grabbed our attention, and have a bit of a white man shouting at clouds at the end of it. Sully, what was the highlight for your week, man?
Well, the men's games were bleh, to say it mildly. But I picked up a couple of points in the Waratahs Brumbies game in the women's. And my favourite little spot was the number 11 for the Waratahs, Desire Miller, the wonderful little crossfield kick pass to Maya Stewart in the first half. And I just thought it was perfectly kicked. You never see a winger kick to a winger. Scored the try in the corner. It was a great bit of skill. Loved it. Yeah,
Awesome,
that's my highlight of the
awesome.
week.
Yeah, some of the skills in the women's game has been excellent this year. I think it's improving out of sight. Carl, your highlight?
Obviously, the Canes winning. We're now 3 minutes into this, and I've talked about it twice, which is only fair, is from what I can see. The Canes, I think, going over to Fiji and picking up quite a good win, actually. I was pretty impressed with that. A little bit disappointed with their discipline, but yeah, no, that was my highlight. I expected the win, I picked the win, but it was better than I expected, and it was great to see.
Yeah, they were pretty ruthless, I must admit. I picked the draw, and it was over at half time, as far as I could see. Yeah, absolutely. Let's kick on, gents. We've got eight games to get through this week, so we'll have to keep them a bit shorter and sharper than the bye weeks. On Friday, we've got the Crusaders versus the Rebels in Christchurch. The Crusaders have got Scott Barrett back into the team. Jamie Hannah drops to the bench. George Barron, Fletcher Newell switch into the front row. Joe Moody and with Joe Moody and Owen Franks, Johnny McNichol starts at fullback, and David Havili returns via the bench. The Rebels have got Josh Canham coming in for Lukanu Salakai-Lotu, who has going to miss 6 weeks with a foot injury, which is very bad news. Alex Murphy starts at hooker against ahead of Jordan Ulisi, and Rob Leota goes to the bench. Sully, what do you think of this game?
Well, the Rebels could do the Reds a favour and lose this one, but I think the Rebels should get up. I mean, and I'm still getting used to not backing the Crusaders every week. But no, Rebels should win this. They're what, fourth on the ladder? They should get this even without LSL. So Rebels to win this. Yes. Carl?
Yeah, sorry, mate. I've got to pick the Crusaders to come out of the doldrums and have a go at the Rebels this week. They'll be hurting. they'll be hurting a lot actually, and I think at home, with their families, with a few people coming back in, which I think are actually some quite good changes, I think they might have enough to do it. Interesting how they've been going this year and the problems they've been having. We talk a lot about the first five, you know, being the playmaker for a team, but I think that a halfback has an actual bigger impact on how a team plays. And I think the Crusaders' biggest problem is actually Mitch Drummond rather than the brand new first five. But that's probably something we can talk about at another time, or maybe something I can write about in a blog one day. But yeah, no, I'm going to pick the Crusaders. I think that they're going to come back. I think they're at home. Rebels don't like travelling. And in Christchurch with the team behind them and after the way they hurt from last match, I think they'll step up.
I mean, the Crusaders forwards pack's fine. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
You could be right there, mate.
Yeah, I've had a look at a lot, you know, I looked at a couple of teams lately and about the way they're playing. And I think, and I was taking a note of it in the weekend with the game that I refereed, or two games I refereed in the weekend. And I think the halfback has a much bigger impact on how the team plays than what we say. Sure, the team will make the decision about running, kicking and everything else, but it's the halfback who decides who he passes to and when. And I think that Mitch Drummond is really struggling, and he's causing more of the problems than the brand new first five Rihanna.
Yeah, I've actually picked the Rebels in this game, and I feel funny saying it, but the Crusaders, if Sully made mention of a podcast last week with the 8-9 podcast where they had the guy from Game Line Analytics on it, and he mostly spoke about the Crusaders' defence, which has been way below their level. Also, their set piece is very poor. Their line-out percentage is actually the worst in the comp, and I would submit to you last year it was probably the best. So their line-out's running at 75%, and whenever they've had problems in the past, they've just thrown at the same white lot for the last 10-12 years. So their continuity is their real issue. I think the Crusaders are a great organisation and they'll get it right, but I just don't think they'll get it right this year. I'm picking the Rebels. So anyway,
okay, cool.
I'm still trying to get over saying that, though. It's just hard to believe, isn't it? I'm going to pick again. You know, I'm going to pick again against the seven-time winners against the Australian team that's in voluntary administration.
Yes.
Okay. Second game for the weekend. We've got the Tars versus the Chiefs at Allianz Stadium. Marky Mark Nangawanga Nitawasi comes in for Dylan Peach. Hugh Sinclair and Miles Amoroso are named in the second row, with Jed Holloway on the bench. Ned Hannigan comes in at eight, with Gleeson going to the bench. The Chiefs have Ratima in at halfback. Aiden Ross, Samisoni Takiaho, George Byer are in the front row. Carl, tell me why you're picking the Chiefs.
Because they're a better team. All over around. I've seen some interesting. First of all, though, congratulations on Marky Mark's pronunciation, mate. That's impressive. Mm-hmm. I've seen the professional commentators miss out and not be as good as that. So I tip my hat to you, my friend. That's a lot of work and well done. Yeah. I think
I was more proud of Samisoni Takeoho.
But, yeah, you know, carry on. Yeah, yeah. No, you're certainly doing better than me. I bleep through those names, mate. It's an interesting. I think there's a problem with the Chiefs, with the Waratahs at the moment and their selections. I'm 100% behind what Hoss has been ranting on about, and I can't see how they leave their inside back combinations, or their inside, you know, the 10 and 12 combinations playing that way, because they've been rubbish all year. I'm not sure that Ned Hannigan's actually a really good number eight, with Gleeson dropping out, and I think that that's a weakness. The Chiefs need to step up. They started off the season really well, but they've had a couple of losses that they weren't expecting, and I think they're going to want to take that out on the Tars, and I think they're going to clean up.
Sully?
Yeah, I'm a bit confused about the Ned Hannigan and eight. I've never seen him play there. So, are they just trying to fit another workhorse into the back row? Yeah, I'm not sure, and I'm not sure about Edmund and Fichetti still staying there at the insides backs. I think they've got problems in their halves and inside centre at the moment. But yeah, I'm with the Chiefs as well, mate. I think the Chiefs should take this easily.
Yeah.
So, Chiefs for me.
Yeah, look, I've formed the view that the Tars are a little bit better than we think they are. And the Chiefs are a little bit worse than we think they are. I still back the Chiefs to win this game. Not by much, though. I think it'll be quite close. I'm with you guys. I haven't seen Ned Hannigan play at eight, but to be honest, I think Gleeson has been probably the worst number eight playing in the Australian comp this year. His ball handling's letting him down something fierce.
Yeah.
So, and again, you've got to apply every year, you've got to apply a new filter. Ned Hannigan is a much different player than he was 3 or 4 years ago. He's improved out of sight. He's just grown into his man body. But yeah, I think the Chiefs in this one. Next one along, we've got the Drua v Moana. Isaiah Armstrong Ravuli is starting at fly half for the Drua. That's that young kid, I think. Togolatima starts at hooker, and Meli Derengali starts at number eight. I have butchered that one, Carl, just so you know. Moana are coming off the bye and are unchanged from round eight. Carl, tell me why the Drua are going to win by 30.
They're at home for a start. And although I think that the Pacific Island home game will raise Moana almost as much as it raises the Drua, and that whole family connection with the Pacific Islands will be in there and will help them. I feel a bit like you do with the Waratahs and the Chiefs, and that I don't think the Drua are as good as they're painted at times. I think the home crowd situation has made them look better than they are. And at the same time, I think the lack of a home ground and the lack of a support has made Moana Pacifica look a little bit worse than what they actually are. This team beat the Reds. I think Moana actually might be up there to give Fiji a bit of a fright. Whether it's enough to actually take the win is another point. I think at home, probably the Drua by seven for me.
Sully, where are you at on offering?
I just think it's a great to see two Pacific Island teams playing a game in the Pacific Islands. It's just wonderful. But I think the Drua is going to have too much at home. I take on board what Carl said about Moana lifting for a game in the Pacific as well, and I can understand that. I think it'll definitely happen. But the flag wavers are definitely going to lift the Drua, and I think it'll be a great game. I hope it's a great game.
Oh, it'll be an awesome game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it'll be a great game, and I think the Drua will kick away win this one. Moana, I don't think will want to play as negatively as they did against the Reds, and the game will flow a bit more. And I think if the game flows, I think the Drua have just got a bit more continuity to keep them along. So that's where I come on that one. Brumbies versus the Canes. So Alan Alalatoa goes straight into the starting side at tight head. Welcome back, big man. Achilles injury must be a very tough one to come through. And you're probably one of the few people who looked good after the Eddie fiasco documentary that came out. Roy Scott comes in at open side for Jerome Brown. Lenny Kitau is in the set, is out at centre. Andy Muirhead returns from injury via the bench. For the Canes, James O'Reilly takes over for the injured hooker Asafa Amua. Brett Cameron returns at fly half, and Ruben Love is at fullback. Carl, wax lyrical about your Canes. Go for it.
Be a good game this one, I think. The
Game of the
Canes,
round, in my view, mate.
yeah, absolutely. I think the Canes are going to find it harder in Canberra than that than they do at home, obviously. Not quite the same support, although the cold, wet Canberra weather is more like Wellington than anywhere else in New Zealand, so that won't affect them. Interesting, Alalotai and Ikitau starting straight from injury, and I wonder if that's going to be an issue. I know they've obviously passed their fitness test, or they wouldn't be in the team. But personally, I think there's a that whole match fitness thing is a little bit different from a recorded fitness thing in a gym, and I think that they could struggle. Funnily enough, I thought Crichton actually had been playing really, really well, so I'm surprised to see him out. I thought Ikitau might have gone in as a number 12 rather than an outside centre. The Hurricanes will definitely miss Amua. He's been playing exceptionally well. Interestingly, they called up Dane Coles, but he got a injury, hamstring injury, so he's out anyway. But I personally think that whilst they haven't won in Canberra since 2017, I think that overall, the Hurricanes are just too cohesive and too smart, and I'm completely one-eyed and biased, so I'm going to back them.
Sorry, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm with Carl. I think the Hurricanes can do it. I mean, I had a bit of a chuckle when you said game of the round after the Brumbies Blues game was game of the round last week, and it was just terrible. And I wonder if that's like prompted the call for help from Alan Alatoa and Lenny Kitau straight into the starting lineup. And sometimes I think with players coming off long-term injuries, it's sometimes better to sometimes thought that's putting them on first and giving them a short run at the beginning rather than making them finish is sometimes easier than making them sit on the bench. So maybe that's the thinking, that they start them with half an hour, or at least Alan Alatoa half an hour at the beginning of the game, and let I don't I can't remember who's on the bench for him. Let the other prop finish off, but I just think the Hurricanes will have too much for him. Yeah, that's my thinking, especially after what I saw last week. But having said that, a lot of what happened last week can be a one-off, and you can fix a lot of things in 7 days. So it could be a completely different Brumbies team that run out on Saturday. So we'll see what happens. Hurricanes for me.
I think that this is a hugely important game for the Brumbies, win, lose, or draw. They this will If they lose to the Canes, that will have meant that they'll have lost to the top three New Zealand opposition. And frankly, the Chiefs and the Blues put a bit of a score on them. So it's a very, very important game for the Brumbies. So I expect them to turn up and turn up hard. I haven't watched last week's game, but I anticipate that if I did, it would just be one of those games where you really don't review it. You just put it in the toilet, flush it, and try to get on with the next one. Because there would be nothing good that you come out of it. There's no learning point from it. There's nothing from it. So, but the Brumbies were starting to win me around. I said earlier in the year I thought Stephen Larkin was overrated. I didn't think he was a great coach, blah, blah, blah. And that sort of worked me around. They got me back on side, and then they lay an egg like last week. But yeah, I'm going to go with the Brumbies because they're at home, because they're going to have to fight back. Like, they just cannot not, because I think it's season done if they don't. They're just too many scars going forward.
I think the only Brumby you could say that came out of that game with his reputation intact would be Charlie Kyle.
It's interesting. Yeah, interesting, Carl. I rate, don't get me wrong, I rate Carl. I think he's fantastic, but I'm surprised he's it's almost like he's protected and shoved out on the wing a little bit too much. I'd love to say to see him play a little bit more up the middle and just see how he goes there.
Yeah, I've heard that comment before. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? Someone could have said the same thing about Kieran Reid, and he seemed to go okay.
Yeah,
He
but
played a lot out in the wing.
he did play a lot out on the wing, but he also did a lot of hard yards up the middle too, mate.
But you know, you'd argue the same point. You know, so it is one of those things. When you've got Nate who's that quick, you probably want to
Oh,
put him in a bit of space. So
absolutely. I mean,
yeah.
some of his skills are just outstanding, and he's great in defense too. I mean, he saved tries as much as he scores tries. So I rate him. I think he's probably one of the best eights in Australia at the moment, to be honest.
And is he playing a full-on eights role, or are they, is him and Valentini sharing the 6-8, playing like a 6-8 hybrid?
I
Yeah.
think Valentini's doing the tougher stuff and
Yeah.
they're getting Carl the wide range a bit more, which is intelligent. So, yeah. Anyway, I'm going the
Waiting for
Brumbies.
this
I'm
one,
going
mate. I'm waiting for this one.
to Highlanders versus the Force. Here we go. Game of the round. Forsyth Barr Stadium. So we're playing it in the greenhouse in Dunedin. Neepkins is back at fullback. Hello. I've had a crack at that middle name is, and I cannot get it right. I've tried it a few times, and I've done the Sean Maloney. I can't make it work. So shout out to Sean Maloney. You've got it covered, my friend. Falau Fakatava is back, starts back at halfback. And for the Force, Isaac Rodd is going to start at tight end lock for Tom Franklin, who's out with a concussion. And Marley Pearce is starting at loose head, following Ryan Caxon's head knock. Sully, tell me what you think. This is an interesting one.
Yeah, this is an interesting one, and I had a thought about this before. And I think I'm going to go with the Force. And I'm not sure why.
Australian bias, mate.
Yeah, it must be. It must be just Australian bias. But I think it's mainly because the Reds put 31 points on them last week and didn't pay on the Highlanders last week and didn't play that well. So I think, yeah, the Force, I think, can do this. They're away from home, though. It's a long try. It's a long flight to get from Perth to Forsyth Barr Stadium in Dunedin. So it's a bit of travel. The best I can say is I'm sure, unsure, but I'm going to go with the Force. How's that sound?
Sounds like shit
It's
to me because
it's
I'm going with
about
the Highlanders.
it's about as equivocal as I'm going to
Yeah,
be. Yeah.
I think it's shit. I'm going with the Highlanders.
Yeah, here's the
I think
Kiwi bias coming in.
absolutely. Hey, it's only fair. Although to be fair, I think that the Highlanders have made some good changes. Falau Fakatava is great. Patchell brings in some experience that just wasn't there last week. I'm not a fan at all of the guy that played at fullback last week. He's been around for years and he's fluffed up for years and he's always been crap. I don't know how Bishop how he keeps getting a game, to be honest, because
Oh, yeah.
he's just, to me he is a huge problem and just doesn't step up and never has. And in a little bit, it's a bit like the Brumbies in that the Highlanders need this. If they don't win this at home, they can almost kiss their season goodbye. And I think that's going to be enough to get them over the line. So I'm picking the Highlanders.
Oh, mate, I forgot to add in there, guys, that Rhys Patchell's starting at 10 instead of Cameron Miller as well. Sorry about that.
I don't understand why they haven't. Apparently, Patchell hasn't been injured. They just haven't picked him. And I really don't understand why. When I've seen him play, he's played well. And he hasn't been the reason they're poor. So whether that's coming down from NZRU or whether that's whatever, I just don't get it. Or maybe he's being a bit too forthright in his opinions on the training paddock as to the quality of the players around him. I don't know.
Or maybe
But
he has been injured and we just haven't known about it too, you know,
no,
that there's always that.
no, apparently he's been playing club rugby in Dunedin, which would be fun for an international player, wouldn't
Be
it?
interesting.
Yeah. So look, I'm going to go for the Force. Look, they beat the Satyrs last week. They
That's not saying
do.
much.
Hey, Satyrs, they're all in the same spot, so
Yeah.
it is pretty much the Force, to your point, Carl, had three flights to get to Dunedin. So
Poor buggers.
you only hope that they get there early enough to get some acclimatization, because we've all travelled three flights. It doesn't matter how far you go, as it takes it out of you.
Yeah.
I just think I think the Force is moving in the right direction. Obviously, I don't like them, the fact that they picked up Kirtley Beale, but Isaac Rodder coming back is a good in for them. He's a quality international lock who's had nothing but bad, injuries for the last couple of years. So you wish him nothing but the best. I just think they're starting to look a bit better, the Force. So I'm gonna I'm give me the Force. Give me the Force in that one.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah.
I think you're
Last
wrong, but
game.
fair enough.
Hey, one of us has to be, my
One of us
friend.
has to be wrong. Exactly.
Exactly. The last game of the weekend is the Reds v the Blues, or it's the second last game because we've got the women's game after that. Reds v the Blues at Suncorp Stadium, Saturday the 27th of April. The Reds, Josh Fluke returns at 13, Tim with Jordan Pitaia out with a shoulder reco. Connor Best makes his return via the bench. Angus Byers starts his first game of the year in a row, and Tim Ryan gets a start on the wing with Matt Greely being rested, which I have no idea why they've done that, but carry on. For the Blues, Anton Zenger, the fantastic German at number six, starts for Ione, who stayed in New Zealand, so it'll make Carl happy. Sam Dury starts at five, AJ Lamb at 14 with Caleb Clark on the bench. Angus Tarvale and Sione Ratoute moves into loose head and hooker respectively. Sully, where are you going with this one?
I'm gonna go with the Blues. I've seen them demolish the Brumbies last week, and a patched together Reds are going to be lucky to stay with them, I think. I'm a bit worried that Josh Fluke is just held together with tape at the moment. I'm worried that he's just came back because we're desperate for a 13. Tim Ryan's a bit young for the wing at the moment. I'm happy to see Angus Blyth back because he looked like our best second rower last week when he came on. Not taking anything away from Ryan Smith, but Angus Blyth's a proper size for a big second rower, and he looked like he was ready to go. So yeah, I think the Blues are just going to have too much power up the centre. So we'll see what happens. I'll be there. Happy cheering the Reds on, but I think the Blues will have too much for them. So.
I'm going to pick the Blues too. I think after the way they demolished the Crusaders, that they might find it harder being away from home with the Reds, but I think they've still got it. I'm actually surprised Paisami didn't stay at centre. I thought he had a fantastic game there last week, and I think it would have been almost good to see him there again, because I think he actually took charge of that position and made it his own. I'm quite surprised that he got pushed back to 12 and they brought in Fluke, and as you say, Sully, you know, he's held together with tape at the moment, so it'll be interesting to see whether he even manages to last the game. Obviously, another one of my pet hates is watching Vunivalu at on the wing again. And I know Nutter picked him in his team of the week, but you know, if you haven't got teams playing, then you got to pick who's available. And for me, that can be the only way he got in there, but that's a separate issue. And I'm obviously a huge anti-league player anyway. One of the guys in the Reds that I've been finding really disappointing over the last couple of weeks is Harry Wilson. I'm not sure what's happened to his game. But in the first sort of two or three games of the season, he was making a huge impact. And now he just seems to have gone off the boil. I don't know whether it's, McWright not there and him having to take over a different role, or maybe, Tate made him look better with the way Tate played at nine. But I've been very disappointed with him in the last couple of games. And I hope he steps up, because he's a good player, and he was showing that, he was demonstrating that Jones had made a real mistake leaving him out of that Rugby World Cup squad. Yet in the last two games, he's sort of showing maybe Jones was right, and he hasn't got all the bits together that we want. I just think the Blues are going to be too strong, though. If they muscle up against the Reds the way they muscled up against the Brumbies, I think they're just going to be too strong, and the Reds will struggle.
Yeah, unfortunately for me, it's 3-3. I think the Blues are a very strong side. The issue for the Reds is in the centres. They've lost Isaac Henry, Jordan Petaia last week. They've got Josh Fluke's coming back from a shoulder injury, and I would have thought the worst team you'd want to come back against is a big Red Blues team with a shoulder with a sore shoulder, because. Let's be honest. He could be ready to play, but he's not 100%.
Hunter Poisami spent the first half of his career playing 13. It's
Yeah,
only
he did. He
using
did. But then the question is, who plays 12?
Yeah.
Realistically, they've got Tarja Nain, who's a 21-year-old big body guy, but not probably ready to play 12 at Super Rugby level yet. Don't get me wrong, he's an awesome player. You've got, and he that's probably where the cupboard goes in terms of centers. They're down to that now. Every year, a team gets into a place where they one position seems to get injury cursed, and this year it's at the Reds, it seems to have been their centers.
It'll be interesting to see what the Reds coaching team does. I get there's issues with depth, but it's not like those issues weren't known before the season started. And a coaching, the coaching team must say, well, okay, if we've got our first 23 and especially our first 15 on the field, then we can play a game like this. But if we start losing people, how does that affect our game plan, and how are we going to change our game plan to take into account of the players we have? I know we talk about depths a lot, and we put a lot on the players, but for me, the depth issue is actually as much a problem for the coaching team. In fact, even more of a problem for the coaching team. And if I see a team that starts struggling with depth of players, one of the first questions I ask is, what are the coaches doing? Why aren't they changing the game plan? Why aren't they setting this team of players up for success? And we've seen that far too much in the past, where, we've tried to get teams to play exactly the same game plan they do with their best team as they do with a few players injured. And the players they bring in, they weren't in their first team for a really good reason, and now they're trying to get them to do the same thing, and the guys are failing at it. And I think they need to, the coaching team needs to look a little bit at themselves.
Yeah, I can acknowledge that. But by the same token, if you've seen it in certain years where a certain team loses, two or three guys in the same spot, and it doesn't matter which team it is, once you get to the fourth guy in that spot,
Yeah, you're
so
struggling.
so so your Canes have lost Asafa Moa, and the next guy up he's a good starter. I don't know what the reserve's like, but they've already made a phone call to 36-year-old Dane Coles, who's retired from all rugby. So it worked. It is across the board issue. I think everyone can expect a certain level of, I call it, wastage in a contact sport, where you're going to get some injuries, you're going to get some wastage. But that's a German, sorry, that's a British general used to say that in the First World War, when they stormed trenches. We're going to get wastage, but you're going to get a certain amount of people who are going to drop out. But if you get them all in that one spot, you get it suddenly it gets tight. Like if you lose your two front line tight heads, Your third one's going to be not as good, and your fourth, the guy on the bench is going to be way worse.
Yeah, so. No, that's a fair call, absolutely. Mm. You know, and the Reds, for some reason, the centres have really been a problem for the Reds this year. Although I will question that losing Pattaya has lost the centre, because in my mind he's never been a centre's arsehole. He's at best a really good winger, not a bad fullback, but I'm sorry, and yeah, goes against everything fucking Eddie Jones said, but you know, he's not a centre's arsehole.
I disagree. I think he's a good player, but yeah. Anyway. Yeah,
I think he's a good player. I just don't think he's a good centre.
Speaking of tight ends, that's 2 weeks in a row, Zane Nongor hasn't made the 23, and I don't think he's injured.
Well, he's not playing club rugby this week. But maybe he's in the emergency. So just for background, each team has to supply as part of their traveling group, they need to supply a replacement front row for their replacement front row. So they need to take three loose heads, three tight heads, and three hookers. So the idea being that if your replacement tight head pulls a hammy, assuming they have one, in the warm up, you've got an emergency to come in. So he might be in the emergency group because he hasn't been playing for his club team Bond the last couple of weeks, even though he hasn't been named.
Cool.
Okay, so that's about gets us through that bits and pieces. Quickly touch on the ladder. One of the things I like to look at in the ladder, gents, and I haven't brought this up with you guys, is you look at, once you start getting 9-10 games in, I think it's a really interesting point to look at the points differential, because you can start to see teams might be further up or down the ladder, but you can start to see how good they're scoring and defending. So it does become an interesting thing. For example, Moana Pacifica are in eighth place on minus 140 points.
Yeah.
So that every game they've played, they've been two tries behind. Because we've played nine games, call it, you know, rough math is two converted tries behind. Whereas you look at something like the Rebels, who are in fourth, are on minus 17 points. The Chiefs are in fifth on plus 88. So they're sort of eight, you know, nearly 9 points to the good in every game they play. And the Rebels are a couple of points behind in every game they play. So it's just interesting once you start to see it. And as the season progresses, oftentimes it evens out. The outlier is, of course, 1 week, like the Brumbies did last week, they got absolutely hosed by the Blues, and suddenly the Blues are now plus 171 and Brumbies are now minus 27.
So, no, they're plus 27, mate, not minus.
Plus 27, yeah, so, sorry.
And interestingly, the Chiefs and Queensland Reds are both higher than them in the plus or minus, but they're further down the roll.
Yeah. Yeah, so just one of the things I like to look at. So anyway, gents, favourite time of the week, what's pissing you off? Sully?
Well, show me something. I'm not pissed off about anything. But I do have a question for Carl. So I think I'll start off a new segment by asking Carl about something I saw in the Waratahs Brumby match on the weekend. I saw... It was Waratahs Brumbies women's match, the semi-final. The Waratahs winger was ankle tapped, and she was sliding along the ground. She let go of the ball while she was still moving forward, so she could stand up and play the ball and pick the ball up again and continue running. And she ran forward and scored a try. Now, I immediately thought that was a knock-on. The officials ignored that, and because to me the ball was rolling forward as she stood up, and I'm thinking, well, she's pushed the ball forward when she let go, and they've said play on, and she scored the try, and they've awarded the try, and they've kicked it. So to me that was a knock on, but obviously I've missed something in a law or a rule somewhere that it wasn't a knock on. Can you clear that up for me, Carl?
Probably not, because I'm a biased Kiwi. I think there's a couple of things here. First of all, when you look in the you look at where that game was at the time, that try was not going to be the winning or loss of the game. It wasn't going to be a bonus point. It wasn't going to change who made the semi-finals, or who made the finals, sorry. You know, if I'm refereeing a game and a team's down by 20 points and they look as though they're finally going to get a score and something minor that isn't going to affect things too much, make a huge material difference to the game, I'll probably let it go too. But when we look at this, if you look at a guy running forward or a guy or a woman, if you took a player with the ball running forward and they pass the ball backwards, but either the momentum, the spin of the ball, or the wind will carry that ball forward. It's not considered a forward pass because a forward pass has to be thrown forward. If you go to the ground and you place the ball and your placing of the ball makes it roll forward, then that's a knock on, or it's a ball gone forward, knock through. In fact, the definition of it is actually quite interesting because they talk it when a player loses possession of the ball and it goes forward. But if you look at this one, she was sliding on the ground. She placed the ball in the ground, took her hand off it. She didn't lose it forward. She didn't pass it forward. The momentum carried the ball forward. Then she stood up and picked it up. In my mind, that is very similar to what happens when you pass a ball and the momentum goes forward. Now, if she had placed the ball on the ground in such a way that it pushed forward, absolutely forward. But maybe in the same way as a pass, this is actually not gone forward at all as a result of anything the player did. And so therefore it's not called a knock on or a forward pass or roll forward or whatever. To me, that's how I see it anyway. No doubt Charlie can come on board and tell me how wrong I am, but that's certainly maybe one reason behind it.
Okay, I'll accept that.
Yeah, I like that analogy there
Cool.
because yeah, he's done well. Well done for a Kiwi explaining something using your big words. That
Using
does remind. Using your big brother, but that does remind me. Little switch out. I forgot to mention the women's final, which has been the culmination of an excellent tournament for those who've watched heaps of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, this as we discussed offline, the standard from last year to this year is excellent. The Fijiana Drua are playing the Waratah women at Ballymore, believe it or not. It'll be live on Stan. It's going to be well worth the watch. The Fijiana got past the Force last week, basically because they had an unbelievable fullback who's just bigger, stronger, and faster than everyone else on the field. And the Tars women have just been the best team all year. I'm going to pick the Tars in this one. I understand why they're playing it at Ballymore because that's where they're basing the Wallaroos going forward, and it's going to be the high performance centre for women's rugby. But I can tell you it'll be an away game for them because the Fijian diaspora will be out in force, and there'll be three New South Wales people there. I will be out at the game having a good time, but I'm going to pick the New South Wales women because they've just been the best team all year, and to be honest, haven't been that close. Sully.
Yeah, the Waratahs just look incredible on the weekend. The Fiji just got up over the Force, and the difference really was the fullbacks. I think she scored three tries. So, yeah, it was without her, the Force would have got up in that game. So, yeah, well done. Yeah, no, Waratahs to win this one, unless the Fiji pull off a miracle like they've done in the past. Yeah, it should be a good one to watch.
Carl?
Yeah, I think I'm with you guys. I think the Waratahs are just much more a complete team. You know, relying on one player is really good, but a coach, a decent coach, can sort out a tactic or a process to nullify that a little bit. And I think that the Waratahs have shown that they've got that ability. I just think they're much more a complete team. I must admit, I've been loving the women's rugby. I remember a couple of years ago when we were talking about rugby, and there are a lot of people saying, "Oh, I don't watch that. It's shit. The girls haven't got the skills. They don't know what they're doing." But the rugby I've seen this year has been absolutely on par. It's been some really, really good rugby with some great skills, and it's been good to see. What I'd really like to see is if they brought the New Zealand women's and the Australian women's into Super Rugby properly, and they had a proper Super Pacific women's rugby match like they do with the men's. I think that would be fascinating.
100%. Be good. Be good. Very good.
Carl needs to shout at the clouds.
Yeah, Carl, what are you going to shout at the clouds about?
I'm a bit like Sully actually. I haven't really got a lot that's pissing me off at the moment. I think my shouting at the clouds is going to be something that's pissed me off for fucking years, and saying that I'm not pissed off about anything is a bit of a contradiction. And that is the poor level of commentator on Stan Rugby. They just ship me to tears. They don't understand the laws. They don't understand the application of the laws. When they look at a game, they're so busy fucking blowing smoke up their mates' asses that they're not seeing the rugby and what's happened at the moment. I think that I'm loving what Stan brings to rugby, and it's been so much better than anything we've ever had from Fox. But I think the one thing that lets it down is the incredibly poor commentating, and I wish they'd sort this shit out and get some decent commentators who actually knew the game. It's just so depressing listening to the bullshit they talk week after week after week. There you go. How about that for a moment?
Good moan. I'm actually going to take completely the opposite view on that, my friend. I think they
That's
did an
right. I hate
awesome
you
job.
anyway.
Yeah, exactly. I'm okay with that. You can stand in a very long queue, but I can agree with some aspects of what you say. But if you want to know, want to see about a piece of dross, listen to the Sky broadcasting. Oh my God, they are. I've been to livelier funerals than those guys. My goodness, they are horrendous. They are just horrendously poor. I admit that they do bring some good insight into the game, but this week for and I watched it this week for shits and giggles, and last week for shits and giggles, I watched the breakdown on YouTube with and
Fucking John
honestly,
Q and the wanker.
the disrespectful bullshit that those people carry on with does my absolute head in. They're the people who should be trying to sell the game because it's in their best interest. And goodness gracious, they are just garbage. So at least Sean Maloney sounds like he's got a pulse. And there are times when I disagree with Harrison, and there are times when I disagree with Morgan Tirunui. But and I hate to say this because I actually agree a lot of the time with Stephen Halls. But my goodness, it's sugar and shit compared. Like, do me a favor.
To
Sorry.
be honest, I agree with you. I'm not going to argue with that, but I'm not saying my only feeling is that a shit New Zealand, a shittier New Zealand commentator team doesn't make a shit Australian team good. It just makes it better than
Concur.
the it just makes it better than the
100%
New Zealand commentary team.
agree. 100% agree. Like, if you, I watched the breakdown this week. They didn't even mention the Highlanders. Like, they are the forgotten bastard, illegitimate child of New Zealand rugby at the moment. Like, they didn't even mention them.
Well,
Like, do me
when
a,
you lose
do
to
me
the
a
Reds without
favor.
scoring a point, you don't deserve to be mentioned. Sorry,
Oh,
just fuck off, Islanders.
they're probably not allowed back in the country. I'm surprised they're playing at home this week. So,
Yeah.
anyway.
The force might turn up and not have any opposition because they haven't been allowed back in.
Back in the exactly. Look, just mine is the inconsistency of the judicial process at the moment. It's doing my head in. I think Charlie made an excellent point today in the in and there was a good conversation on the forum today in the Green and Gold Hump Day News, which some Kiwi wrote. And it basically said that it would be a lot better if they actually explained why a certain decision was made. So when Du Plessis Corriffy, in my view, deletes a Fijian guy's head, nothing but shoulders, direct contact to the head, which my team player Sef Fargassi got 4 weeks for, and he doesn't even get a mention. I would like to know why, because at least to our point offline, at least I could disagree with it, but at least I'd understand what their thinking is. So.
No, I'm not going to argue with that. I think you're right. I think Charlie put up a link there to Ben O'Keefe
It
in
was
his
awesome.
Instagram. Yeah, that was really good, and I'd love to see more of that because
Yeah.
I think if we saw more of that and people understood what was going on, there'd be a lot less shit going down. The trouble they have, and I can see this side of it too, is that there are enough people on social media that would take whatever they said and twist it to suit their own pathetic lives and the way they want to pull people apart, that in a lot of ways, if they don't say anything, they can't be held account for what they say. If they say something, there is always that group of people that are going to take it and use it in the nastiest way. And maybe that's a fair point, and that's why they don't. But yeah, I tend to agree. You know why it wasn't. I think that Charlie on the blog today pointed out his reasoning why he thought it should have stayed at yellow and not gone to red. I'm not going to disagree with that. I think that there's it may be a valid point, but as going back to what you said, it might be right, but we don't know because no one fucking said anything. So yeah, I'm with you on that, mate.
Yeah.
Yep, I agree with Carl on that. I'd like to know the reason that the referees didn't make that a red card and made the other ones, the two Sef Fargassi and Fraser McWright ones, were red. So I'd be interested to know the difference between them, but we'll never know.
One of my points, which is I listen to a whole stack of podcasts because I do a lot of driving, and the Egg Chasers podcast, which is very good. I'd recommend it to anyone. They speak about in a red card situation, what's the teaching point? What could you teach the player to do differently? So if a player has bent at the hips, set his feet, tried, led with a shoulder, done a wrap, and the other guy makes a late move and something happens, what's the teaching point? How can he change his behavior?
Yeah, hang on. That's assuming rugby players change their behaviour. I mean, this has been
Well,
one
they
of the
don't.
no, exactly. This has been one of the problems that we've had ever since the head contact red cards came out. And going back to your point about the judiciary, look at I always look at Tom Banks one. There was never ever a clearer indication of a head contact being the fault of the tackler running in. Judiciary had this bullshit clap about he changed slightly his direction and therefore wasn't Tom Banks' fault, so he got off the charge. Now, if I'm a coach, I'm thinking, you know what? I'm going to keep this high tackling and everything because the chances are, if I do get a card, it's going to get let off, and the risk of losing my player for a substantial amount of time compared to the risk of offloads and me not having a defensive coach with the ability to teach a pattern to resolve offloads and how I defend against it, the risk is actually less by leaving the tackles, so I'm gonna let it go. So they aren't learning, they aren't they or they weren't learning, they weren't changing their behavior, and they were getting away with it, and so no one cared. So I
Yeah,
wouldn't hold
that.
my breath waiting for a fucking bloody player to learn a lesson from a red card. The only lesson he learns is how to bullshit better when he gets to the judiciary.
Indeed, indeed. My view is that if you take that, what's the teaching point? Because if there was something he could have done differently, then you can change it. But when they go, oh, the biomechanics of this and that and the next thing, and
Load of
it does
wank
my
to
head in.
me. Yeah.
Like, the because when earlier this year when Barrett got done, I thought, I'm sure he's been and he got tackle school out of us. And I'm sure he's been red carded before, and sure enough, he had been, and he got off, and that was for putting his foot into someone's face. And it was like he got off because he of the way he fell. There was
I
something
know.
that happened, and it's
Absolute
like,
bullshit.
yeah,
Absolute bullshit.
exactly.
I'm with you 100% on that one, mate. Never
So
mind.
there's all this stuff that everyone carries on about. Like, funnily enough, when Owen Farrell got red carded for the first time, he had a clean record. He'd never been done before. The Venus de Milo of English rugby. Like,
Yeah. Interesting, eh?
anyway.
People talk about the conspiracy theory about Kiwis getting away with it. I just point to Farrell and say, hey, don't talk to me about fucking people getting
Exhibit
away with
A.
it. Yeah,
Correct.
absolutely.
Yes. Anyway, gents, we need to move because we want to keep this under an hour. And I think we've just about managed to do it. You all good, Sully? Mate, enjoy your evening at Suncorp on Saturday. Hopefully we're both wrong.
Yeah, I hope we're both wrong. Yeah.
Exactly.
No, you won't be.
Carl, enjoy the rest of your week. We'll talk next week, eh?
Thanks, guys. Have a good one. Catch you later.
Okay. Again, everyone, if you're still listening at this point after all that diatribe from all of us, thanks for all your support. If you do want to send us a question, email Sully at greenandgoldrugby.com. Download, rate, subscribe, do all of those good things, and have a great weekend of rugby. Talk soon. Bye.